So we're looking at the Christian. It's important to know who we are so that we're not told who the world thinks we should be. Christianity is first spiritual. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual life. Hallelujah. Before we come to our earthly life, it is a spiritual life. It starts in the heart, then it has a physical evidence of what is in the heart. Hallelujah. It's not an outward show of something that is not in the heart. Praise the Lord. The Christian is one who has been recreated in Christ Jesus and given eternal life. Somebody who has turned their life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, so that Jesus is Lord, Savior, and Lord over their lives. You move from the Lordship of Satan, the devil, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Now, everybody who's been born into the earth, who came in through the interplay of a man and a woman, was born with original sin, apart from Adam and Eve, before they fell. Their children, had they given birth before they fell, that one child would not be in that boat. But every other person who came after the fall came with separation from God, which is spiritual death. Hallelujah. So now in Christ Jesus, all who were dead have been made alive. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And ye hath he quickened," that is to be made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That is talking about the devil. He's called the prince of the power of the air. Hallelujah. "The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience." So there's a spirit that is at work in the world. There's a spirit. This spirit is the spirit of the power of the prince of darkness, of the prince of the air. In the atmospheric heaven, you find devils. There are devils over territories. That is what he's talking about here. And those spirits hold people in bondage. They're called the power of darkness. The Bible says that God had, delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Praise God. Now, those who are still in darkness are under the power of the wicked one. It says, "among whom also we all had our conversation." This conversation here means lifestyle. "In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So it means that when we see somebody living after the course of this world, they are doing that because of where they're located. Amen? Spiritually. Hallelujah. It says, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ." He has made us alive spiritually with Christ. "By grace are ye saved. He hath raised us up together." Grace means unmerited favor. That God's favor, free favors that come to us freely because of Jesus Christ. His favors that come to us freely because of the Lord Jesus, because of the sacrifice of Calvary. It's not because of anything we did. So when you come to God, you come as you are, as it were. So you come to him knowing that you're going to get some freebies. One of the freebies you get is to be saved. And salvation means to be delivered from temporal and permanent danger, from eternal danger, from eternal destruction. Because there's, in the realm of the spirit, things are what they are. They don't change. What do I mean? If somebody's born into this world, they are born in original sin, which means they are sinners. They haven't done anything yet. The nature of their human spirit is dead, spiritually dead, cut off from the life of God. evil in as it is without doing anything yet. But when that man gives or woman gives their lives to Christ, the nature of God is put into their human spirits. That's what we call salvation. God draws you out because Jesus paid a price through his blood, and then you are brought into the kingdom of God, and your sins are forgiven you. Both the sin of Adam and Eve and all the things you did up to the point where you give your life to Christ, they are forgiven you. This is what we teach in foundation class. But we need to teach it again as a full church message. Praise the Lord. And hath raised us up together. So when Jesus died, we died. When he rose from the dead, we rose from the dead because he was our substitute. He elected to go to eternal prison for us. But because he had no original sin or a sin of his own, God, being a just God, had to deliver him according to his word. Hallelujah. Because it was God who offered him. Bible says he pleased him to bruise him. He bore the iniquity of us all, so that in his blood it was written. You know, the way Abel, when he died, his blood was crying to God from the earth, saying, I need vengeance. Somebody killed me. I need that person to be punished. So when God came, he heard the voice of his blood. And God said, Cain, where's your brother? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? He started arguing. You know, like how some people argue after they've committed royally, they just start talking something. So he was trying to defend himself. And God said, your brother's blood is evidence. He's crying out to me from the earth. Jesus' blood is crying, have mercy. Forgive their sins. I took their place. That is the purpose of the blood of Jesus, to blot out transgression, to redeem us. We'll pause here before we go further, and I want to show us something in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, in whom, talking about Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So we have our sins forgiven us because of the blood of Jesus. He blots it out, not because we fasted, not because, you know, some people have a custom. I watched on TV somewhere where they beat themselves. They're supposed to be Christians. They beat themselves with whips. They just, you see them, they bleed, their whole back's bleeding. No, you don't need all of that for forgiveness of sin. You're trying to pay for your sin, and you're not holy enough. Amen? You're not holy enough for God to accept you that way. So God counted all under sin that he might have mercy upon all in Christ Jesus. Just as sin came into the world through one man, God brought righteousness through the obedience of one man, and that man was Jesus Christ. Disobedience came through Adam, the first Adam. The Bible also calls Jesus the last Adam. Jesus is the beginning of God's new creation. Hallelujah. So he raised him from the dead. When he died, when they were whipping him, those soldiers were giving him a whooping and all of that and tearing his skin, he was paying for our sickness and our diseases because he had no sickness or disease of his own. And he is God and yet the Son of Man because he was born biologically by a woman, but his spirit was made by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. So he was not born with original sin. He came out of his spoken word. Bible says to us in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to be a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, talking about Israel, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, authority, exousia, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will, nor of the will of man, but of God. It says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of what? Grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. So if you are a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus, you have received the fullness of Christ, grace for grace. What is that? Unmerited in its nature, unmerited favor. I received the fullness of Christ without doing anything. I didn't fast for it. I didn't cry for it. I did not, labor for it. I didn't keep the Ten Commandments for it. I believed into it. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of times people stop in grace. Grace, grace, grace came by Jesus. Now, there's another thing there. Truth came by him. He is the truth and the life. Amen? He is the light of the world. The light that lighteth up every man that comes into the world. Hallelujah. That enlightens every man that comes into the world. Praise God. Now let's go back to the book of Ephesians. It said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ, by grace he has saved, and had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So even though you're seated here right now, as a believer, in the realm of the Spirit, you are seated in heavenly places as kings. So we're seated in heavenly places far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named. We're seated. And that's where we're going to be seated when we'll be judging men and angels. Because we're seated there. That's where you and I are seated. You don't, you say, oh, I don't look like much, but you're seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. You're seated there with Christ. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God. What's a gift? Something that somebody gave you didn't pay for, right? If you paid for it, it's no longer a gift. Right? So what do you do to gifts? You receive them. Hallelujah. So we receive salvation freely by faith. We believe the word of God, receive it into our hearts, declare it with our mouths, and we are saved. That's how we got saved. It says, not of works. The origin of it, under the law, you had to keep the Ten Commandments to be declared righteous, to be saved. In Christ, you have to believe to be saved. And when you believe, you receive everything into your human spirit. But they are programs, as it were. You have to activate them. Amen? None of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. The Amplified Version says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those things, those good works, which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, live the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God did all of that. Praise the Lord. He taught it up. He created it. He formed us and put us into this world to be his own. Amen. And take note of this. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works, not evil works. Good works. If it's an evil work, it did not come from God. We don't become lying champions, just, you know, or a drinking champion, you know. That's not part of the new creation. Hallelujah. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who we are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, you know that for quite a while, people like to say that the Jews, the natural Jew, are the chosen people. Praise the Lord. That the natural Jew are the chosen people. And so we are maybe appendages to it. So we seem to, the church seems to feel inferior to the natural Jew. And it's not true. Praise the Lord. It says, we were aliens toward the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that were nigh or near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through what? Through what? Through Jesus, we both. What both? The Jew and the previous Gentile have access by the Holy Ghost unto the Father. Amen? We now have access. So we can call God Father. We can pray to him and he will hear us. In those days, the Jews were the only people that God listened to. That was why when the Samaritan woman came to Jesus and was crying after him, he said, Master, you know, my daughter or my child is sick. I want you to heal my child. And he said, it is not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. He was not trying to insult her. He was saying what it was because of the covenant. And when he came to the Jewish woman who was, you know, bent over with a spirit of infirmity, he said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from her infirmity? Why? It was a part of the covenant that she should be free. Amen? So the Gentiles were not part of the covenant, which was who we were. Now we have been brought, given access through the blood of the Lamb. We are now part of the covenant of promise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Every believer on the Lord Jesus Christ is a saint. Saint means sanctified, set apart unto God. Holy. Am I holy? Yes, you're holy. God made you holy. If you were not holy, the Holy Spirit will not indwell in you. But Pastor, I've done, the blood of Jesus took care of that. If you have repented, the blood of Jesus has taken care of that. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Fellow citizens, with the saints and of the saints and of the household of God, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. So, we're new creatures in Christ. We have been set apart from our life of sin. We have been quickened, made alive, given a life that supersedes the life of sin. The Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life, or the presence and the principles of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made you and I free, able to live free from the life of sin and death.